Your Money Briefing. Money and Market Stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. As the Federal Reserve keeps raising short-term interest rates, it's getting a lot more expensive for consumers to borrow money. We'll discuss in a moment. First, these money headlines. The Producer Price Index, that's the measure of the prices businesses receive for their goods and services, rose a seasonally adjusted 0.5% in May from a month earlier. That's the word from the Labor Department. That data points to a firming inflationary trend that's driven by higher energy prices, increased threats, and the imposition of tariffs, along with reduced labor market slack. And Zelle, the digital money transfer service owned by the biggest U.S. banks, will overtake Venmo in terms of users this year. That's according to research firm eMarketer. Americans are using their smartphones to send money to friends and family members at an accelerating clip. Mobile person-to-person payments volume is projected to expand from $122 billion in 2017 to $341 billion by 2022. This is your Money Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Welcome back, everybody. As the Federal Reserve institutes a series of interest rates increases, it's becoming more expensive for consumers to borrow money. Paul Kiernan covers the Fed for the Wall Street Journal, and he joins us from Washington to discuss. So, Paul, the rise in interest rates has touched several types of loans for which consumers borrow.
That's right, yeah. Mortgage loans, auto loans, home equity lines of credit, student loans, you name it, the Fed raises rates and rates go up. So the increase so far hasn't been huge. One reason they've hit a multi-year high is that rates since the recession have been pretty low. But in the case of mortgages, which is typically the largest loan that the American, you know, household takes out, it's gone up from 3.95% in early January to 4.54% last week. That's the average fixed rate mortgage over 30 years. And that's pretty significant when you're taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars, and in a lot of cases, over 30 years, it adds up.
You know, the interesting thing here is that the higher borrowing costs have not put a significant crimp in consumer spending.
Yeah, the economy is strong. Unemployment is at the lowest level since the late 90s. Really, we've only seen unemployment this low twice since the 1960s. And people are getting bigger paychecks. The tax cuts for some households have paid off. And so there are these countervailing effects that have overall kind of helped the economy and helped consumers.
And you spoke to a gentleman in Phoenix who said the borrowing cost increases are almost forcing consumers like him to make big purchases now as a hedge against rates going even higher down the line.
Yeah, it really puts home buyers in a tough situation because on the one hand, they've seen rates go up. They've seen housing prices in a lot of markets go up. Phoenix is a good example. And, you know, they may not be able to afford the same home now that they thought they could afford 9 months or a year ago. And so they're in this position of going for a purchase now that might be tough to afford, buying a house that maybe isn't as big or nice as they had expected, or trying to wait it out and see if the situation changes. But all the signals are pointing toward higher rates.
And just to get back to the consumer spending topic for just a moment, one of the things that you pointed out in your story is that consumers don't always spend based on the availability of credit. Other factors go into it.
Yeah, how much money consumers have goes into it. And most spending isn't made on credit. So again, I mean, this is an effect that people are seeing if they're about to take out a loan or if they have a variable rate debt like credit card debt. Or home equity lines of credit that fluctuate with the market. If you don't have debt, or you know, if you took out a mortgage a few years ago, you're sitting pretty. And one compensating factor in all this is that yields on savings accounts, while they remain very low, are starting to go up as well. And so it's not like this is a blanket downer for the economy.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Paul Kiernan joining us from our Washington bureau. Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot, JR.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm JR Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.